All right. We've heard a lot of great music tonight. Children did a fantastic job. And the music, of course, with our singers is fantastic all the time. I know we're a little bit later. Well, we're not a little bit later. We're a lot of bit later tonight. So I will talk fast. You listen fast. And we'll still be late, okay? So just kidding. I want to share a thought with you. I think that will help you tonight out of this. We'll start in this portion of scripture, but we're going to move on. I talked about it this morning when I was talking about leveling up and our personal responsibility, how that really where we are at life has a lot to do with the choices that we make. And the choices we make are typically made up of priorities in our life. What is really, really important to us? We may not understand it. We may not consciously think about it, but we make decisions because of what is important to us. And based on that, we live our lives. And by the way, something is not a priority just because we say it is, right? It's not, you know, it's seen in our actions, not what we say is our affections. And so we need to be honest with ourselves sometimes. And sometimes the things in our life that should be a priority aren't, and here's the key, because other things have squeezed them out. They may have once been a priority in our life, but now they no longer are. And to be real honest with you, when that happens, they are usually pushed out by things that are lesser, not things that are greater. When you get saved, it's usually the opposite. The priorities you had before you were a Christian were not God's priorities, and so you were doing those. And then when I got saved, my personal testimony, I saw the things that God wanted me to be involved with, and I made those the priorities, and they squeezed out the things that really should not have been. If you ask people what their priorities are, there's some that are natural, right? If you're married, it should be your marriage, your children. You know, if you work, your career should be a bit of a priority. Your spirituality, and really the Lord ought to be a priority. Now, within those priorities, you prioritize those things. Some of those things that are the priority, they should be put in an order. I've said it over and over in my life in when I've preached, but when I die, if you want to look at me and judge me in my life, I want to be judged by these things in this order. First of all, what kind of Christian was I? And involved in that is everything we do spiritually. Secondly, what kind of husband was I? Thirdly, what kind of father was I? Parent. Fourthly, what kind of grandparent was I? Kind of throw that over top of the other ones, right? You put up with your children and you get to the grandkids, all right? And then lastly, really, and a lot of these will lump a lot of things together, what kind of person was I? How did I treat other people? Those type of things. And so we need to have these priorities in our life. If we are not successful in any of these areas, it is because we have allowed something else to squeeze them out, or we have replaced them with something else. And I'll say this, if we make these exchanges sometimes, some of them are very bad. Some of us, or I'm sure, you know, we have things in our life that are a priority that just shouldn't be. It's a really, really bad trade-off. And we need to be very careful about that. But this is very, I'm going somewhere with this, I'm not just rambling. This is very important in one area, our love for God. Amen. Our love for God. It's the ultimate priority. Because if my love for God is right, everything in my life, everything else in my life will line up correctly. But if I mess that up, well, it's just natural. I'm going to mess everything else up. David, getting to our text here, had given Solomon a charge as he was taking the kingdom. You don't need to switch back there, but if you look in the same book, 1 Kings in chapter number 2, he says in verse 1, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. He goes, I'm dying. It's time for you to man up, or you could say level up. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, David, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all thy heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man to sit on the throne. He says, Solomon, I'm done here. It's your turn. And you need to man up, and you need to love God, and you need to follow his commandments, and then what will happen is the kingdom will be perpetual for my through our family as God had promised. Solomon took heed to that admonition. In 1 Kings 3:3, it says, and Solomon loved the Lord. How do we know that he loved the Lord? It says in verse 3, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt offerings and incense in high places. He followed what David had told him and was doing the things that he should. You see it in his life early on. God came to him and said, hey, ask what you want. He said, I want to have an understanding heart. Really was asking for wisdom to lead the country. And God was pleased with that and gave him wisdom. Not only that, he gave him prosperity. He gave him peace in the kingdom. He allowed him to build the temple. He also had. He also gave him great respect in the eyes of all the nations around him. Solomon had it going on. It was all good. But we come to our text tonight, and if you read through and you saw it, you see that there's a problem. The wisest man who ever lived, the man who loved God with all his heart, starts worshiping false gods and building altars for them. By the way, that was the beginning of the end of the unity of the kingdom. When Solomon died, God split the kingdom. It wasn't a unified kingdom because he had started going the wrong direction. He started, can you imagine? The guy wrote the book of Proverbs. He was very wise. But yet when he got to the end of his life, it didn't go so well. By the way, read the book of Ecclesiastes. We did a whole series on it one time. I called it the autobiography of a confused believer. Because Solomon had gotten away from God. Now, God directed him to give us good advice. But if you read that, it's like he was all messed up. Where did it start? Look at verse 1 of our text tonight. But Solomon loved many strange women. Doesn't mean strange like they were derailed. You know, just strange women was women he should not have loved. His heart started going towards them. He started marrying them. By the way, God had already warned them earlier. Verse 2, for surely God talks about marrying those certain ones that he could not marry because they would be incompatible with serving the Lord. And he said, for surely, in verse 2, they will turn away your heart after their gods. God was reminding them, hey, I already told you this was going to happen. But you know what he did? He doubled down. Solomon clave unto these in love. So what's the result? Look at verse 4. It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart away, that his wife turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. They turned his heart away from what? The things of God? From loving God the way that he should? The love he had once for God in his heart was squeezed out and replaced by these false gods. And that was the beginning of the end of the kingdom. Now, this is something that can happen to every Christian. You can love God with all your heart. You can want desire to serve God and honor him. And yet years later, you're not doing that. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Some things probably in your life you started giving affection to that you shouldn't. You only have so much heart. And you squeeze out that love for God. Now, you'll say you love God. Very few people will say, you know, I used to love God, but I don't love him anymore. No one says that. But in actions and in attitude and in reality, your life says something different. That's what happened to Solomon. Jude 1:21 says this, keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, so what I want us to see here is what are some things that the Bible very clearly warns us about that we can start to give our love to that will squeeze out, or really what we're doing is we're exchanging our love for God for a love of some things the Bible says you should not love. Or you should be careful about your love. Sometimes, you know, a church like ours, like, man, you guys just preach about stuff, and sometimes you're pretty point blank. We're not just doing that to do that, because the Bible's very clear that we have to guard our hearts, we have to protect our hearts, or else our love for God will sweep away. And by the way, I'm not just preaching at you, I'm preaching at me. I know people that were once preachers, that they're not only not just pastors anymore, their love for God is pretty much out the window. Because they're human. All of us are human. I mean, you match up Solomon at his best, none of us can line up with what he had, what he did, what he experienced. And yet, at the end of his life, he exchanged that love. What are some things? In the few minutes we have, and I will go quick, but I want us to get this. First of all, you know what will squeeze out our love for God? Love of people. Love of people. That was Solomon's problem. Solomon got all these women and married all of them, and the love he had for them squeezed out his love for God. Now, I'm not saying if you're married, you can't love your wife. Well, if I love my wife, I won't love God. No, God commands us to love his wife. But Solomon took it to a whole nother level because his wives were out of order. God had very, by the way, God had specifically told the kings, don't you multiply, don't get a bunch of wives and horses. Now, I don't know where those two go together, but I don't quite, you know, I guess if you have a lot of wives, they all need a horse. There was no cars. But don't, you know, they figured, like, if you can't provide me a horse, I'm not going to bury you. I'm not sure. But he had all these women, and he had so many of them, and he was so out of control in his passion that they just started squeezing it out. They influenced him to change direction in his life. You know, we need to be very, very careful. Sometimes good people, people we know, people we love, people that aren't, that God commands us to love, if we're not careful, we allow them influence to change our direction. And when we do that, our love for God could skirt out the side door. Could be a family member. You know, you have we all have families, maybe they're not safe, and they don't understand you going to, why do you go to church? They don't understand it. There's no reason to be mean-spirited. I'm sure some of us that got saved maybe later on in life, you would have told somebody that. What are you doing wasting your life going to church? We didn't know any better. But be very careful. It could be friends that you have. It could be people you work with. We have to be very careful. We are a very peer-driven society. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned what people think in the right way, right? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, but sometimes we take that to the extreme and we change the things that we do to please somebody else, and the fact of the matter is the very first person we ought to please is the Lord. Amen. You know, I was a youth director for many years here until I was able to give it to Brother Ross and let him, the blessing of working with youth. And it was like, with teenagers in my group started having issues, it's 95% of the time it's other people. That's it. And you could really almost take it to 100. Now, today, it's the same thing, but they use technology because they're connecting with the wrong people through technology. And I haven't said this for a while, and I feel like I need to. Teenagers don't need to have cell phones, ever. Say, Pastor, I'm tired of you saying that. Well, just give me a little license here, okay? Because I'm the one that deal with your kids when they get in trouble. And it's like, cell phone, always. But anyhow, but you know what I found out? Adults, it's the same. We all have that same problem. We're so concerned with what other people think. Now, there's another way, and this was Solomon's problem, because his problem when it comes to loving people, if we're just real honest here, it was lust. And have a thousand. Look, come on now. I'm married to one, and it's great, by the way. But you know, marriage takes work. Amen. Sometimes one of us might be a little grumpy. I'm not going to say who it is. You know, Mary, could you imagine having to deal with 1,000 women? Like, 25% of them are going to be having issues. You know, you have to go through 1,000 of them. Hey, who's having a good day? But let's just be real honest. Why did he want 1,000 women? Not because he wanted to buy groceries for them. Not because he wanted to be able to celebrate someone's birthday at least three times every day of the year, if you do the math. He had a lust problem. Let's just be real. That's why he married. Now, I know some of these up front. He married princesses, and some of them were like, you know, maybe just to help with the kingdom and all that nonsense. But let's just be real. It's like, how hot, you know, it's like Abraham when Sarah said, you should marry Hagar. He's like, oh, she's kind of cute. Just be real. You got to be very careful. And we get ourselves in trouble. Especially, look, those of you that are single, be very careful. People, for other people, people will sacrifice their morals, their future, their spirituality. You want the right person. You only want one, by the way. But be very careful. You know, and you say, and by the way, that's not just for singles, right? And I would tell singles, look, get the right person. Say, how do you know the right person? If they're not spiritual, if they're not making you more spiritual, they're the wrong person. You say, well, yeah, keep getting on the singles, Pastor. What about the married ones? You're flirtatious at work. You may communicate with somebody that you shouldn't on social media. Getting a little quiet, that's okay. Let me help you with that, okay? You didn't ask, but it's my job to tell you things that you didn't ask about. You don't DM another, if you're a guy, you don't DM a girl that's not your wife. Yeah. Someone DMs you, I can help you with that. Block. I don't want them to be offended. I don't care if they're offended. Okay? You got to be very careful. I'm not willing to sacrifice my marriage. I'm not willing to sacrifice my family. I'm not willing to sacrifice my spirituality for something like that. And then sometimes it's just people, associates, friends, as I already mentioned. You know the Bible example of this? I won't spend a lot of time on it. It's Samson. Samson's problem was a girl problem. Look at it. There's three of them in there. And so let's be very careful, though. Love of people. By the way, God tells us to love people, but not at the expense of our love for him. Here's another one. Love of self. Yeah. 2 Timothy, you can turn over there. I'm going to start reading it to save time because I want you to be able to eat tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. It says, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. By the way, we're there, right? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, if you read verse 2 and 3, he tells you a bunch of really bad character, sinful qualities, but I think it all goes back to loving yourself. We are in the last days. And the last days talks about a lot of things, right? We think about prophecy. We think about the rapture of the church, which is not the second coming. The second coming is when he physically comes to this earth. We think about the tribulation period. We think about his second coming at the end of the tribulation when he comes to this earth. We think about the millennium, which follows the tribulation. And then we think about when Satan is judged permanently, which is a good one. But but prophecy more than that, the end time dealing with prophecy, it's also about people now. What are we going to do now because of it? But we live in a time when people in the last days love themselves, it seems like, more than ever. That's why a few years ago they had to put that new word in the dictionary, right? Selfie. Say, you want to take a do I love myself too much test? Who wants to take one of those? If you have social media, check the pictures. How many of them are you? Here's me with my cat. That's okay as long as you get rid of the cat. Here's me eating pizza. Here's me doing this. Here's me doing that. It's like, okay, we get it, you know. It's about you. But we need to be very careful. Matthew says this in chapter 24, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, and this is an end times type thing to Israel, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Our love for God, once we start loving ourselves, our love for God, and the word wax cold is interesting. It's like it has the connotation of blowing on something to make it cold, right? You ever get like soup or something, you tell little kids, blow on it. That really doesn't work very much, but it makes you feel better. But it takes something that's hot and you're cooling it down. That's what happens to our love. You know why? Because we're loving ourselves. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. By the way, that's a really bad trade-off. You want to know if you love yourself? Yeah, by the way, now I understand you. We all love ourselves to some extent, right? Because we're supposed to love our neighbors as we love our. And you love yourselves in the sense that you take care of yourself, you try to do the right thing, that type of thing. But it gets out of control where the whole world revolves around you, right? It's like, you know, you're the sun and everything else in life is revolving around you. And you measure everything by how it affects you. That's a really bad place. How does this benefit me? You know, I look around the world, the church and spiritual land. Well, how is this all working towards me? That's love of self. We need to be very careful about that because when you love yourself, you make your decisions based on yourself, not based on love for God. Because the fact of the matter is, if you read the Bible and it talks about the things we're supposed to do, we're supposed to sacrifice some of the things ourselves for God. Right? What did Jesus, you can't be my disciple. And he mentioned those things that, you know, you have to be willing to take up my cross and deny yourself and the other things. And he said, you have to be willing to do these things if you're going to follow me. That takes someone that says, I'm willing to put those aside, although I want them because I want for my love for God to be more than that. We sacrifice. That's what stewardship is about. I'm going to handle things and do things the way God wants because I love him and he's giving me these things and they're not mine, they're his, and I'm going to use it for his glory. You could read the verse, we won't, but all these things he mentions. Who's a good example of the Bible of that? I think Saul is a good example of that. Do you know we pick on Saul a lot, and rightfully so, but you know he was a good guy at the beginning? When they came to anoint him king, he didn't want to be king. He was hiding in the luggage. It said he was hiding in the stuff. You know, everybody came for this thing, and they all put all their bags and everything over there, and he's hiding. He didn't want to do it. But you know what happened? It got to his head. And now it's all about him. Listen, he had David who went out and fought his battles. Listen, if I have someone like David fight my battles, I'm going to take care of him. Are you with me? Instead, he got jealous and tried to kill him. So we have to be very careful. That love of self comes in. Let's stay in 2 Timothy, shall we? Because love of self will lead to this next one. 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 4. We already read all those bad things. He says, lovers of pleasure, ouch, more than lovers of God. Life's just about enjoyment. I really like this. This brings me pleasure. It doesn't matter if it's taking me away from God. By the way, I wouldn't put my kids in public leagues anyhow. They didn't play sports or Christian school. But, you know, people put their kids, what do they play? Sunday morning. It's church Sunday morning. Come on. It's just this league and it's just a few games and I'll miss Sunday morning so they can go play. You know what you just told your kid? That's more important than God. Right? Let's just be honest here. You know, we have to be so careful. We do all, can I pick just for a minute? And then you can throw stones at me and we'll move on. As long as they're like made out of foam. We do all kinds of things we love and yet we struggle with spiritual things. Can I just help us? All right, here we go. We'll sit through a 3-hour football game. And there's nothing wrong with that unless it's the Raiders or the 49ers. Then it's just flat out sin. Okay? And we complain if the service goes 10 minutes too late. Sorry. I got out of here 10 minutes late. Sorry. The kids sang so long tonight. We pay a lot of money to do something we really enjoy. But we'll pay all kinds of money. Last time I checked, Disneyland wasn't $20. We'll complain when the offering plate comes by. Man, this is going over like a screen door on a submarine. You'll read some book, right? And then, you know, the Bible's kind of just boring. You can't find time to read through it once in a year. And by the way, it only if you read through it just in a year, and you sit there and you read it so you can get something out of it, that takes about 15 minutes. minimum. I mean, you know, you can get, it takes a little longer. Sometimes you get in it, it's all good. But man, you know, get that magazine, get that book, get that, and you'll sit there for hours. Okay, my popularity's dying. Okay, can I really just, okay, I'm not even going to look at you. I don't want you to. You will get up really extra early in the morning to go fishing or catch a tea time and then complain about how early Sunday school begins. I like to golf, and I and sometimes if it's a holiday, it's like I'll go at 6 in the morning just because, you know, no one's there. And by the way, even though there's no one there, there's people there. And the same person, Sunday school's at 9:30? What is wrong with you? I like to fish, amen? I don't do it very often. When I do, I take Brother Ross because he knows what he's doing, and I don't. But look, the best fisher in the morning. The early bird gets the what? Most of you go to work before 9:30 in the morning. Okay, just... By the way, COVID taught me you can be here. Remember we had to have church service at 9:30 in the morning during COVID and y'all were here. All right, here we go. Well, you weren't working, I guess. We go out and spend lots of times playing our favorite sport and activity and physical and exercising, and we'll never volunteer to serve at the church. All right, the last one is real. It's going to get all of us, so we'll just all like, shh. We can spend hours on our phones, talking to our friends, texting people, scrolling social media, and we never spend a minute in prayer. You know, let's just go home. I feel so bad right now. Now, I look, I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. Are you with me? But I'm saying, how come we have a more favorable attitude towards those things than we do spiritual things? And I don't think you're bad people. That's not what I'm saying. It's just I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to teach myself something. Man, that love of pleasure just kind of comes in, doesn't it? If we're not careful. And I don't want to spend my life. By the way, the Bible says when you love something and you put it in front of God, it becomes an idol. And some of these things can. By the way, you know who the best illustration of that is? The children of Israel. When Moses was up on the mount, and he didn't come down, they didn't want a new God. They wanted a party. Like, hey, Moses, here, Moses is gone. Let's do something else here. And as soon as they made the calves, it's like, party time. God did not really like that, to be honest with you. Here's one that we know, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, and I will hurry. We have two more, and it'll be really fast. Love of the world, right? 1 John 2, you know the verses. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, pride of law, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, what is the world? The world is not this physical place we live. The world is the philosophies, principles, beliefs, values, joy, anything that is backed by the philosophies of this world. Do you understand that? Because the majority of the world is unsaved, so those things are going to come from an unsaved mindset. But it leads to a typical style of life, and it leads to a direction, right? Like, you know, follow your heart and live any way you want. Who are you hurting? It's your life. Those type of things. That all comes from the world. And these things are all directly opposed to God. Why is that a big deal? Well, let's just see what God said in James chapter 4, verse 4. You ready? Ye adulterers and adulteresses, right there in your Bible, you should write, ouch. Know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's actually, yow. But you know why? Because, see, love for the world comes in a progression. It doesn't just start, you know, like one day wake up like, yeah, I think I love the world. I want to be an enemy of God. What happens is we start to become familiar with the world, the things of the world. And that's, that, by the way, so what happens when that happens, then we know more of the world than we should, and then spiritual things just don't look as good anymore. Then we take the next step. Because we are coming but familiar with the world, we're attracted to the world, right? It looks better than it should. And then here's the really bad part. It's like, you know, this just seems like a better life choice than a spiritual life choice. And then we become friends of the world. And God said that's a big problem because the next thing is love of the world. Once you start that relationship with the world and you've already made those steps, the next progression is what? Love of the world. And so let's be very, very careful. Anything that is opposite of what the scripture says is going to be of the world. My affections, my desires, we need to be very careful. In the Bible, we know that that was the problem with Demas. Demas was a good man. He went out with Paul. He served with Paul. And then it says he forsook Paul because he loved this world. And that just makes sense, doesn't it? How can you love the world and want to do spiritual things? Spiritual things don't look good to you. They wouldn't look good to me. Then lastly, a love of disobedience. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. He says, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. The word perfected means to bring to completion, to bring to finish. See? How is our love last long term? It's by obedience to his word, because it keeps us in a good place. It's like marriage, right? A person first gets saved, and man, they're fired up about God, and they'll get excited and all those things, and I'm all for that. When I was married, marriage was a new thing. I didn't have to live by myself anymore, and it was exciting living together and thinking towards a family. But I don't mean this in a negative way. The honeymoon ends. All the stuff that was new about the relationship is no longer new. Just like that, you know, in the Bible, it talks about first love. All that stuff when I was a new Christian I was doing, it was so fresh, it was so new and so exciting. Can I just tell you something? However many years later, none of your business, it still is, but in a different way. I mean, my wife and I, we're not like, oh, they're like honeymoon. We're not honeymooning anymore. But our love is deeper than it's ever been. Amen. It's better than it's ever been. You know why? Because it's mature. And it's a love that will stand the test of time until death do us part. That's how our Christianity should be. And you know how our Christianity mature? Just obedience to God. God doesn't make things complicated. We overcomplicate things sometimes, do we not? Did not Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? Love leads to obedience. Therefore, if I'm disobedient, then I do not truly have the love for him that I should. Say, no, if I'm disobedient, that doesn't mean I don't love God. If you love me, keep my commandments. So if I'm not keeping his commandments, I don't love him. Now let me say this. I'm not talking about, a momentary disobedience. You know what I'm saying, right? None of us are perfect. I'm talking about a lifestyle that could be described as disobedient. Huge difference there. Huge difference. Because if I love God and I do something wrong, and I do, God's going to lead me to confess that and say, man, that was really dumb. Lord, I'm sorry. But when I start living a lifestyle where disobedience becomes my thing, that's a problem. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Don't get into the habit of habitual disobedience. Now, let me just say this and I'll be done. The opposite of obedience is rebellion, right? King Saul. And you know what? In America, we think rebellion is cool. Do we not? I don't watch all the movies. It used to be back in the day, the hero was the guy that rode in with the white hat and dealt with the bad man. But many, many years ago, it flipped. Now the bad man, the rebel, he's the hero. Not in God's eyes. There is nothing spiritual about rebellion. And by the way, we bring this into our Christianity. There's churches that promote their services by like, we're not stayed and are just, do what you want. Like, excuse me? That's not cool. God wants us to learn his word so he can bless us by our obedience. And when we start to get to a point where we allow disobedience in our life and it's habitual, that love for God's going to get super, super cold. What's the point tonight? The point is this. Let's not exchange our love for God for anything else. It's just not worth it. I want to get to the end of my finish line like I got there loving God to the end. I may not have been perfect, But I got to the finish line. And so you have to watch for these things. Okay? Don't let love for other people squeeze out your love for God. Don't let love of self squeeze out your love for God. Don't get love of pleasure, squeeze that out. Don't let love of the world, love disobedience. Let's just keep our heart right. And by the way, we all have to fight it, right? Sometimes we start to get cold and we just gotta like, man, I gotta get back on track. I'm not gonna let that happen. You gotta fight that at the beginning. Because once you allow it to get in there, you gotta be very, very careful. Let's stand together this evening, if we may. If we can just bow our head and close eyes for a minute. I know I talk fast. But I hope, I don't think you would be at church tonight if you didn't have a love for God or want a love for God, right? But I hope you love God, and I hope that's the desire of your life. You know, the desire of my life is I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought my fight. I don't want to get away from God. I don't want that love for God, which started back when I was 17, 18 years old, and I was getting saved and getting right with God, that love that just started blossoming in my heart and all these different things, how it manifested itself in my life. I don't want to lose that. I'm much farther down the road, but I don't want to stumble at the finish line. How's your love for God tonight? Say, Pastor, it's pretty good. Why don't we make sure that we protect ourselves from these things? And there's probably other things, but this was our time tonight. So that we never come to a time in our life where we end up like Solomon. And that love is gone. I don't know what God spoke to you about tonight, but if God spoke to you, why don't you come? Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, I'm there right now, and I want to stay there right now. I want to be committed right now. I don't want to. I don't want to ever walk away from you. I said that very early in my life. I'm like, Lord, I love you, and I love you now, but please help me. I don't ever want to get away from you.